We're going to recap briefly what we dealt with last Sunday. The signs in the sky came about particularly over the last several years where Christians have become obsessed with signs, particularly the blood moons, particularly the planets lining up, etc., etc., and of course the eclipses. They were spectacular. We recognize that. It was spectacular. It was a fascinating experience to see some of this stuff. But that being said, as a believer, understand that we are not looking for any sign to predict anything. As a follower of Jesus Christ in this place and myself, we don't look for signs that's going to predict anything. But we are fully aware of the fact they are precursors to events that will happen. And particularly where the scriptures speak about the sun turning blood, etc., those signs are a precursor to what's going to happen later on in our lifetime, not necessarily our living lifetime, maybe our children's children, we're going to see that happen in a dramatic way, or they're going to see it. In Genesis 1:14, we touched on this last week, then God said, let there be lights in the sky to separate the day from the night. Now notice what it says. They will be what? Signs. The lights in the sky is going to be signs. The sun, the moon, the stars, they will be signs and will mark religious festivals. And to this day, religious festivals are set by the lunars, the moon, which the Jews still adhere to this very day. So they will mark religious festivals, days, and years. And you also remember the wise men from the east. What did they do? They followed a what? A star. It was a sign. What was the sign of an event that's going to take place or event that is there already? It's an event that's the birth of Jesus Christ. So they followed to Bethlehem, the star, to see Jesus Christ. So the stars were used and the sun and the moon, his navigational purposes. And God doesn't want us to pay more attention to the signs in the sky, but rather to be informed. And I think that's my job, is to inform you, myself, as to events that are in the Word of God. And we're looking towards those events. When we look at prophecies in the Old Testament in particular, many of them have been fulfilled. There's a number of prophecies that still need to be fulfilled of certain events that's going to take place. So some of those things are hundreds of years old, the prophecies that were predicted. Do we discount them? No, we don't discount them. Will we see some of the stuff? No, we won't see some of the stuff. Yes, there's others we will most probably be a part of. So we want to be informed of the events stated in the Bible. Signs in the sky appear as precursors to the event that is about to happen. Some scriptures quickly, Jeremiah 10:2, we looked at that last week. This is what the Lord says, do not act like the other nations. He's speaking to his people. Don't look like the Gentile. Don't respond the way the Gentile nations respond. Do not act like the other nations who try to read their future in the stars. They are there for a reason, for a purpose, sometimes navigational purposes, but don't read your future in the stars. Why not? Why not? Astrology? Well, what's the difference reading your future in the stars or going to somebody to read your future in the tea leaves? Same thing. Our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ that owns us, that guides us, that tells us of events. So do not be afraid of their predictions. You know what's amazing? How people will put more value into the predictions of Nostradamus than in the predictions found in the Word of God. So who is more faithful? Nostradamus was just a human being. So we've got to put our faith not in the predictions of Nostradamus, because he's predicting a whole lot of stuff now for the election. He does that, they always draw things out. It's amazing, you can look at a prediction and you can make that prediction fit to where you are. You can read into the predictions. So do not be afraid of the predictions of these people, even though other nations are terrified. And we're going to see that as some of the events unfold and the predictions about the sun and the moon and the stars, people are going to be terrified. You and I, bring it on. Bring it on. Our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 12, 38, 40. One day, some teachers of the religious law and Pharisees came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, we want you to show us a miraculous sign." Notice once again, they want a sign to prove your authority. Look at verse 39. But Jesus replied, "Only an evil, adulterous generation will demand a miraculous sign. But the only sign I'm going to give you is this, the prophet of Jonah. For as Jonah was in the belly," how long was he in the belly of the great fish? 3 days, 3 nights. "So will the Son of Man," Jesus talking about himself, "I'm going to be in the grave 3 days, 3 nights, then I'm going to rise from the dead. So will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and 3 nights." So we notice from this that there's one sign. My opinion, this sign, Jesus is the sign. I don't have to look for any other signs. He's the sign. And then I understand that signs in the sky are not preparing an event, but reminding us of the event itself that is at hand. And particularly the scriptures that refer to the sun turning blood, etc., etc. Remember that signs in the sky are not preparing an event, but reminding us of the event itself that is at hand. Luke 21, 25, we're just still catching up. "And there will be strange signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars." Same prophesied in Daniel. Same thing prophesied in Ezekiel. Same thing prophesied in Zechariah. Same thing prophesied in Matthew. Same thing. The same scriptures. The contents of it, there's going to be strange signs in the sun, moon, and stars. "And here on earth, the nations will be in turmoil, perplexed by the roaring seas and strange tides." People will be what? It does seem that we have entered that age. Last week we spoke on the end days. When did the end days start? We're living in the end days. The end days started either with the resurrection of Christ or it started with the birth of the church. So for almost 2,000 years, we've been living in the end days. So look at this. People will be terrified at what they see coming upon the earth. My opinion, according to they ain't seen nothing yet. Because there's some terrible, terrible stuff coming upon the face of the earth. And I'll show you a little bit later about that, where we get that from. "Then everyone," now listen to this. What are the signs showing? Terrified at what they see coming. It's precursors to an event. Then the question is, what is the event? It's there. There's the event. So there's the precursors. Terrified at what they see coming upon the earth. "For the powers in heaven will be shaken. Then everyone will see" what? "The Son of Man coming on a cloud." The coming of Jesus Christ. My opinion, once again, you and I ain't going to see that. I may be part of a rapture, which I'll explain later on, but I'm not going to see this. Not in my lifetime, maybe your children. "Then everyone will see the Son of Man coming on a cloud with" what? "Power and great glory." So when all these things begin to happen, now once again, the perplexity, the signs that are virtually navigational purposes. So when all these things begin to happen, stand and look up, for your salvation is near, referring to the Jewish people. Because Jesus, when he comes on the Mount of Olives, puts his feet on the Mount of Olives, going to split in two, that's particularly for the Jewish people. Of course, it affects the whole world. Perplexed, confused, worried because they can't understand it. Let's go to the next one, Nicole. I think it's Matthew 24. Matthew 24, "For there will be persecution such as the world has never seen." We are seeing signs of it now, worldwide. I just shared with Heather yesterday a in Uganda, an entire Christian family was burnt to death in their home with their children. And the only reason they were burnt to death with their children in their home is because they introduced certain Muslims to Jesus Christ. Those Muslims accepted Jesus Christ, and the rest of the Muslim community went and burnt the house down of the pastor, his wife, and his children. Persecution. There will be persecution. Now, this persecution, nothing. Look what the word says. There will be persecution such as the world has never seen before in all its history. We ain't seen anything yet. And will never see again. Matthew 24, 29, and 30. Immediately after the persecution of those days, the sun will be darkened. Referring to a specific period of time. The persecution, and also then the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give light, and the stars will seem to fall from the heavens, and the powers overshadowing the earth will be convulsed. And then at last, the signal of what? There's the event, guys. There's the event. What's the event? The signal of my coming will appear in the heavens, and there will be deep mourning all around the earth. And the nations of the world will see me arrive in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Notice the extent of this. The nations of the world. Now, once again, that will happen through our media. It most probably is going to happen through CNN, Fox News, MSNBC. Things are going to happen. On this particular day, once again, the signs in the sun, the moon, the stars are precursors to an event that is going to take place. And the event is the second coming of Jesus Christ when he comes in a visible form, because it says everybody will see him. Now, some perspective on the end times according to the Bible, 2 Timothy 3:1. And we shared this with you last week. But know this, that in the last days, when did the last day start? You see, when we all got caught up with the blood moons, the planets lining up, people were talking about the coming of Jesus Christ. Many were saying the rapture is going to take place. As a matter of fact, right now, some of the Christian prophets are stating that the end of the world is going to happen soon in the Middle East. I mentioned on Wednesday night, don't buy that garbage. The end of the world is not going to come in my lifetime or in your lifetime. The end of the world is determined by God, but there's too many things that's got to happen before the end of the world, or the renovation of the world. The things that's got to happen is got to be the 7 years tribulation. The things that's got to happen is Armageddon. The things that's got to happen is 1,000 years of peace. Now, if we've got 1,000 years of peace, how many of you think you're going to live another 1,000 years? Good luck. Unless they inject something in us and extend our life. But that's ridiculous. I don't want this life to be extended on this earth. I want to get to that life with my new body. So I don't want to hang around here, man. So I understand that 1,000 years, and then the Bible says after 1,000 years, the devil is let loose because he will be imprisoned for that period of time. He's going to be let loose for a period of time, a short period. What's a short period? 1,000 years? 100 years? We don't know what 1,000 years, we know what 1,000 years is, but he will be let loose for a short time. And the Bible says, and he will deceive many. Then the end will come. What will come? The end will come. So don't buy into this garbage about the end of the world is near. I want you to look at a chart. We showed you one last week. It was difficult to see. I tried to modify it a little bit. Notice Pentecost on my left-hand side. Pentecost. Now, this is where folks come in. I come in as well. I believe in a pre-trib rapture. Many people say no, there's a mid-trib, which is the tribulation. Others say post, etc., etc. But according to the way we look at the Word of God, you look at Pentecost, arrow, yellow arrow coming down. The church age is referred to in Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3. It's called the church age. And after the church, after chapter 3, you don't read much about the church. So that's why many scholars believe the rapture takes place before the following event. But under the church age, we are over 1900 years. Since Pentecost till now, we are almost 2,000 years. That's why even Paul thought that Jesus was coming soon, but Jesus never came. Now, we are very short-sighted. Our goals are very short. We live for the now. We live until we get pension age, and then we want to retire, and then we think we're just going to wait until we die at 80 or 90 or 100, and that's it. But I've got to keep on reminding you of something beyond that, where you and I'm going, and that is meeting up with God. Notice what it says. The church age, Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3, over 19, almost 2,000 years, we're waiting for the next event. Now, bear this in mind, guys. The earth is waiting for a next event that who planned? God planned it. Not man. The event is the tribulation. The tribulation is particularly designed for Israel. Israel is in a mess. Israel is fighting for its existence now, has virtually always fought for its existence. But the persecution that Israel is going to experience and undergo is something that has virtually never happened before. And that's why the tribulation is so bad, the Bible says. The tribulation is found in Revelation. Do yourself a favor, go read and study Revelation chapter 6 to 19. Some time ago, we went through the entire thing explaining it to you. The revelation is 7 years. The tribulation, 7 years. The first 3.5 years is not as bad. The second 3.5 years, according to Daniel, is very, very, very bad. Things, people are going to die diamond dozen. A quarter of the earth is going to be destroyed. The sea is going to turn into blood. Ships are going to be destroyed. Population is going to be decreased by virtually a third. It's also the horror on earth. But it's 7 years. And then we find the scriptures that we just read about the coming of the Son of Man, referring to Jesus Christ. That coming, notice the blue arrow coming down. That is the second coming. When Israel is about to be annihilated after the 7 years, they will flee. Many say some of them is going to flee to Petra in Jordan. It's just going to be a horrific time under the Antichrist. They are going to be governed. So the persecution, they fleeing, and then when it seems as if Israel is on the verge of total destruction, Jesus Christ comes with his people, with the followers of Christ, some of the angels, and the Bible says he comes on a white horse and horses, etc., etc. Look at the second coming, puts his feet on the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives splits in two. Of course, we've got Armageddon right in there, a war where the Bible says the blood is going to flow up to the horses' bridles. It's horrific. And then all of a sudden, Jesus establishes the kingdom called the Millennium Kingdom, which you find in Revelation chapter 20. Now, that's a millennium, 1,000 years. So does that make sense to us? Not really. Now we ask ourselves the question, do I really care about this? Well, we should. We should. We should be aware of it. We should know where we're heading. Is this a fact or is this a pie in the sky? Is it just what some philosophers or some doctors in theology has come up with, or can we bank this? Is this what's going to happen? We can take it to the bank. There's going to be this. There's going to be the tribulation. We're in the church age. How long did people wait for the birth of Jesus Christ? Hundreds of years. It was prophesied. As a matter of fact, it was prophesied in Genesis 1 already, the coming of Jesus Christ. So we find God's timetable and God's schedule doesn't really tie up with ours. We are instant. We are short-sighted. Everything is for the now. But it's my job to keep on encouraging you to look beyond this. And if you do die now, when you die, make sure you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Because it's going to be a terrible time if you don't know that. If he's not your Lord and Savior. Now notice, millennium, Revelation 20, 1,000 years, paradise, peace on earth, while Satan is bound. And then the Bible says he's let loose for a little while, and then you see the black arrow? There's a final judgment. And the final judgment is where the Bible says the sea will give up its dead, people in the graves will be resurrected, and they're going to stand before the great white throne of God, the judgment of God, and each one will be given the judgment. And the Bible says, whose name is not written down in the Lamb's Book of Life will be thrown into the lake of fire. Then what happens? End of the world. What do you mean end? Ceases to exist? No. Eternity. Notice we start with eternity, we end with eternity. But in between is all the stuff. Then eternity, you got to read Revelation 21, 22. It inspires you about this whole new city that's coming down. The new heavens, the new earth. That's what the Bible refers to. And once again, a perfect earth that God has designed. So if we look at the events that are about to unfold, this is where we are. In the green on your left, we are in the church age. But that age is coming to an end soon. Now, when I say soon, is it possible for the rapture to take place and God's people to be raptured up? Yes, it is possible. Is it possible maybe in the tribulation? People believe that. But the fact is, let's look at the church age ending and another age coming in called the tribulation. And that is not going to be a pleasant age. And Paul summed up the closing days of the church age in a passage pregnant, filled with doom. He said they would be mocked, the last days. Now, the last days started either with the resurrection of Christ or the birth of the church and has been going on for over 1900 years. But in the last days, marked with perilous, difficult times, hard to bear, dangerous, and that escalates, building up to the next event. And that's where we've got to understand how this works. And Paul's list of the end time events are summarized as follows. He saw a world controlled by people without character. And we've seen this. The world that is controlled by people without character, the devastation or the thinking of man seems to be deteriorating for the worse. We're doing things today that almost we thought was impossible to do many, many years ago. Behaviorisms, changing the way who we are, calling people different names. We can go on to the political thing, but it's not worth our while this morning. Their supreme concern, the Bible says, that the people would have a love for themselves, a love for lust, and a love for wealth. In other words, it's all about me. Now, there are people that seems to outshine others in evil. It just seems to be one of those things. People are without conviction. They're false principles. They show they are ruled by wickedness. The fruit is evident. Listen to this as I quickly run through. People without character, lovers of themselves. People that are covetous. People say they're going to be lovers of money. And as a nation, guess what? We are people addicted to living beyond our means. The debt of people today surpasses nearly every age before. Credit cards maxed out to the full. So we are people addicted to living beyond our means. Why? To survive or to gratify our wants? Boastful. This is what Paul says. Boastful, proud, abusive. Let's pause for a moment. Boastful, proud, abusive. Is that part of our age today? Totally. Guess what? It ain't going to get better. Incrementally, it increases as we move from one event to another event, as we saw in the days of Noah, which we'll get to later on. Paul also says these people are going to be disobedient to parents. We see that happening more and more than ever before, that parents don't have much authority over their children anymore. We see that children are maturing at a faster rate than we've ever dreamed of. We look at the teenagers, or the youngsters, not even teenagers, we look at the youngsters. They virtually grow up with this iPad or iPhone in their hands today. The technology is just unbelievable, and we're going to get to that as well quickly today. People that are disobedient to parents, unthankful people. We expect, because it's all about me. So we've decided over the past several years, let us generate thankfulness. Let's be a thankful people, because that's what God wants us. So when we go downstairs and we get served, what do? Thank you. So we say thank you, because people are becoming unthankful. Paul says that in the end times, people will be disobedient to their parents, kids. Unthankful. Oh, unholy. Paul turned to his attention to another ingredient in the recipe of ruin in the last days as it intensifies. Unholy. Wicked. Listen, don't care about God. Give me some facts, and I'll slow down once I catch up. Don't care about God anymore. 20-30%, only 20-30% in Europe believes in God. Many of the churches are turned into mosques. We have X amount of churches closing per week in America. X amount, I think it's like 150-300 a week are closing in America. Guys, we got challenges. But don't lose sight of what? Where you heading? That's what they sang this morning. Don't lose sight where you're heading. Because this can influence you in a negative way. Unholy. He wrote that people will be wicked, don't care about God or traditional values. America's traditional values are almost extinct already. You've seen it in your lifetime, yeah. I've seen it in my 24 years, yeah. And then I've seen it just go down, down, down our value system. Then the Bible says, people will be without natural affection. Hello, 2024. So we find that is on the increase. So once again, going from one event intensifies within that present event until we go to the next one and all stops are virtually out. He wrote that people without natural affection, people would be callous, people with either a heart or any principle, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. We have become a nation of pleasure seekers. This is a generation addicted to pleasure more than to the things of God. As a child of God, you've got to have a value system. I spoke about that 3 weeks ago. Not only must you have a value system, but God must be your priority. And we're going to get to this as well in what Paul says. God must be our priority. Unfortunately, we've got to the point in this day and age that the secular system is eroding the things of Christianity and making it very difficult for a Christian to be sold out to God, because what they've also done is create events that coincide with the Sunday worship. So what must the person do? So we look at people are now in a fix, the Christians, but I'm saying to you, be more addicted to God than to the pleasure of this world. And of course, last week we ended off with, and I'll start slowing down, have a form of godliness. He says, in the last days, over the 2,000 period, year period, we've seen this. People now having, more people having a form of godliness, but not the real thing. It seems like the real thing. Why? Because they say this stuff, they speak this stuff, they're in church on Sundays, throughout the world, they seem to be Christians. Well, in the last days, people will be marked as having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. He added, from such, turn away. The Bible says, Titus 1:16. Now remember, I said it last week and I'm saying it again today. I'm not calling anybody this name. The Bible is referring to it in the Message Bible. So if you've got any problem with this, please do not come to me and please do not leave this building this morning and say, he called me a name. Listen, it's going to come to it. They say they know God. But what? Their actions speak louder than their words. So what are they? I'm not saying it. You read it. I'm turning my back. good for nothing, right? They're real creeps, disobedient, good for nothing. Why? Why? How do you enjoy this accusatory language? As a natural individual, this is accusatory, it's degrading. But yet, there's something involved over here. They are like clowns. They're imitators. They say they know God. But their actions speak louder. Now, I want us to look at things that will be present before the second coming. And when I refer to the second coming of Jesus, what am I referring to? The physical return of Jesus. Now, most probably many people have not put thought to that. The physical return of Jesus Christ. I would dare to say, if you go out and speak to people about the fact that Jesus will come back in physical form again, visible, let's put it, visible form, how many people will identify with that or know what you're talking about? Very few. As a matter of fact, even within Christian circles, that is becoming debatable now. The second coming of Jesus, when God gets ready to do something on earth, what does he do? He always forewarns us prior to that event. He sends some signals that are designed to prepare us for what God is going to do. For example, before the flood, what did he do? Now, on Wednesday night, we asked, how long did it take for Noah to build the ark? I said about 100 years. Well, fact checked, it's about 70, 75 years. So it took Noah about 70 to 75 years to build the ark. Did he forewarn the people, though? What did they think about that? Hang on now. Did they think he was nuts? So when you talk about the coming of the Lord, don't they think, yes, you nuts?
Yes.
You see, it doesn't matter what people think, whether I'm nuts or not, because it doesn't change the event. God forewarned the people. Our problem is we're living in the now. The event that he speaks of seems too far in the distance. Because I'm for the now. But we've got to, and he's forewarned us, make the decisions now because it affects the future for you. And that's why I'm on this course of maybe bringing this to our attention more than ever before. The ark was the sign. Before the Lord delivered the Israelites out of the Egyptian bondage. Now the Egyptians, once again, they had power. Many people think that the Israelites were in Egypt for, let's say, 400 years as slaves. That's not true. They weren't slaves for 400 years. They lived a very good life until the Pharaoh that did not know Joseph, because Joseph had died, the Pharaoh came into being. And then there was rumors from his people that the Israelites are getting too many. So what did they do? They were afraid that the Israelites is going to conquer Egypt because it's from within. And then they took them on as slaves, or made slaves out of them. But irregardless of that, 400 years in Egypt. How many of the Hebrews thought they'll ever get out of Egypt? Hardly anybody. But there was a promise. And they kept to the promise, some of them. And you and I, how are we going to get to heaven? Keep to the promise. Keep to the event, knowing that we're going to see God. Although many things are going to come and go, don't lose sight of the fact that we are going to see God. So the 10 plagues upon the Egyptians, those plagues were signs. Before he sent Jesus to be born of a virgin, what did he do? He put a star in the sky. So the wise men can go see there was an event that's going to take place. Put a star in the sky. Just as the first coming of Jesus was preceded with signs, so will his second coming be preceded with signs. And that are the signs that we spoke about earlier, about the sun and the moon and what's happening on the earth and the waves, etc., etc. There will be signs in the world that will correspond with the signs in the word. Jesus said, when these signs begin to develop, look up, your salvation is near. And we are living in the time when Jesus is going to return. When I say we are living, there's a possibility we can see the rapture. There is a possibility we might even see part of the tribulation. If we are mid-tribulation people that think the rapture will take place, there's a possibility. As I said to you last week, I'm a pre-tribulation person. So if it happens, I'm going and I'll say, I'll be waiting for you. If it's not, I'll go through it together with you. But the bottom line is, we're looking to the next event, the coming of Jesus Christ in visible form. There are several major signs given to us in the Bible. The Lord said, it will be like the what? The days of Noah. Those are important things. Not only will it be like the times of or days of Noah, it will also be like the days or times of Lot. So we go back into history and we look at this. God said, Jesus said, it's going to be like the days of Noah when he comes back. In Noah's day, according to the Bible, they were marrying, giving in marriage. There was a population explosion. Just listen to that, because I'm going to take that a little further with statistics. A population explosion. Not only was there a population explosion, but during the time of Noah, they became more wicked. Or the intensity of wickedness did what? Increase. It increased. So if it was as in the day of Noah, it's going to be like in the day, there's going to be a population explosion and wickedness will increase. Okay, let's pause for a moment. How far do you think wickedness has increased already just in our last several years? Doesn't it seem like it's almost a multiplication or a compound interest? It's just boom, boom, boom. We kind of were like this, and now we're going like this. That was in the times of Noah. The same with Lot. With Lot, we also understand wickedness increased to such an extent that some of the people wanted to have a sexual relationship with angels. Wickedness has increased. There was a population explosion at the time. But God told Adam and Eve to do what? Fill the earth. In Genesis 1:28, he blessed them and said, have what? Now that has decreased too. In my mom's day and age, she was born 1900. She had 11, 12, 13 kids. Today, very few people have 4 kids. 0 kids. So we find that China put a halt on that. So we recognize God says, have many children. What about overpopulation? Do you think God considered that maybe? Do you think God took into account that if you have many kids, there could be a population explosion to the point that earth cannot hold it? Or did he consider that? A lot of this stuff today is all political and for their own pocket. There's laws that are being made so that your descendants will live all over the earth and bring it under their control. I'm putting you in charge of the fish, the birds, and all the wild animals. Thanks, God. We've done a great job, haven't we? No, we've screwed up. But there was a population explosion in Noah's time as well. History reveals a population of 1 billion people from the time of Adam until the year 1830 AD. 1 billion people. What do I notice? If these stats are right or correct, the population was like this. I mean, you could hardly see that line move from creation until 1830 AD. Didn't look that significant. 100 years later, according to the stats out there, 100 years later, 1930, 1830, 1930, there were 2 billion on the face of the earth. In 100 years? Then, from 1930 to 1960, a period of 30, we spoke of years, 100 years, now we're down to 30 years. From 1930 to 1960, a period of 30 years, the world population stood at 3 billion. Whoa, what am I seeing? You see this? Are we heading towards an explosion? It seems like it. Remember, we're on 30 years now. 15 years later, in 1975, from 1960 to 1975, population totaled 4 billion. 11 years after that, 1986, 5 billion. 8 years later, 1994, 6 billion. The end of the 90s into 2000, 6 billion. Today, over 8 billion people. I'm seeing this graph climbing. Is it a possibility that there is a population explosion? Absolutely. It's phenomenal at the statistics projecting in 2050 what the population is going to be like, unless they kill us off and reduce us to 3.5 billion people. Jesus said prior to his coming, it will be like the days of Noah. As there was a population explosion then, there will be a population explosion just before the second coming of Jesus Christ. The increase of knowledge. Has our knowledge increased? Dramatically. Haven't we always had smart people? Yeah, there's been. But somehow, the increase of knowledge in this era is actually mind-boggling. The increase of knowledge. Man's knowledge doubles in less than 6 years, according to stats. By the time many medical students graduate, much of the earlier training is already obsolete. What's the lifespan of a computer? What's the lifespan of technology? You buy your next iPhone, what's it, 16? Let's say you buy it tomorrow. How long before that technology is virtually obsolete? I would submit to say the day you bought it, it's obsolete already. We've never had this before. I mean, I never grew up with an iPhone, iWatt. You see, I'm from the dinosaur age. Hey, thank you very much. Thank you very much. You're catching up. She's right there with us. But kids today, and in general, if you don't know how to use an iPhone, iPad, I mean, you're screwed. Technology is gone beyond my wildest dreams. Megabytes, gigabytes, terabytes. That makes you terrified. Printed material doubles in less than 15 years. Technology, for example, has developed the laser beam, a concentration of energy at a pinpoint of light. It now is used in various forms of surgery, sometimes requiring no incisions whatsoever, just a laser. Give me a break. Computers now exist that can assimilate, listen to this, all 850,000 words of the Bible 5 times over in 1 second. Let me say that again because you could have missed it. Computers now exist that can assimilate all 850,000 words of the Bible 5 times over in 1 second. It's very difficult to comprehend this stuff, especially us older folks, maybe the younger generation. Say, I knew that. Oh, stop showing off. You'll get to my age. So we find this stuff is escalating, like almost compounded interest. And we say, gosh, where is this going to stop? Well, we ain't seen nothing yet. We ain't seen nothing yet. Computer chips, no larger than the fingernail of your little finger, can store millions of items of information. There's a calculator, I believe, out there that can make over 1 million calculations. Listen to this. A calculator that can make over 1 million calculations in 1 second. I'm on the wrong planet. I still go, 1 plus 1, 2. Now, knowledge will increase. Where does it stop? It ain't going to stop. We look at what Elon Musk has done. Forget about the political side of it now. For that base of that rocket, over several attempts of failure to get that base of that rocket back to its takeoff place. It's phenomenal. Everything this man has designed is actually stupidly clever. In Daniel 12:4, but Daniel, notice this, keep this prophecy a secret. Now, there's certain things that God instructed for his prophets or the prophets of that day to keep secret for a later age. Now, so was the prophecy about the birth of Jesus. The birth of Jesus was pronounced and prophesied. But the Bible says, particularly Paul in Galatians, when the fullness of time had come. Who knew when the fullness of time had come? Nobody but God. So it was a secret. The church that we call ourselves, the church, was a mystery in the Old Testament. It was a secret. But now it's exposed, the church. We were a mystery. So I find in Daniel 12 verse 4, Daniel, keep this prophecy a secret. Seal it up so that it will not be understood until when? Wow, end times. What are you talking about? When did the end times start? You see what I'm saying? After the resurrection of Christ, or maybe the birth of the church. There's two opinions. Notice what it says. In the end times, what's going to happen? Travel and education shall be. Yeah. Those days it was horses, donkeys, mules. What do we got today? We crisscross the world. Just in the last 100 years, we crisscross the world. Virtually, make it 150 years. So I'm not fake news. Over a period of time, we are able to crisscross the world. Now we can have hybrids. Hybrid human beings too. I think it's Japan that's developed skin that goes on a robot. And this skin rejuvenates itself. You cut it, it heals itself. So, I don't know, next time, I don't know how to check if it's you. When you come in, is it really you? What can I do to make sure it's you? Made a robot. I think it's the first citizen, in any case, in the world, that's a robot. So there we have this skin that can reduce, that can heal itself. On a robot? Check who he is. I don't know who he is. Check who he is. Is he a robot? When travel and education shall be vastly, exponentially increased. And guess what? We're living in that age. We're living in this age. The end times. The Bible goes on and says, towards that event that's coming, the second coming, visible form of Jesus, pressure on men's hearts. Jesus said there would be distress of nations and perplexities. People see no hope for the future. They see no way out of debt, problems, difficulties, marital stresses. Men's hearts are failing there because of the stresses, the strains, the struggles, and the sins of life. Notice what's happening. Increasing, 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 increasing until it bombs out. And that's going to bomb out at the coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus referred to the time of his return, the second coming, like in the days of Noah. Let's go to Luke 17:26, and then I'm going to shoot to Genesis. When the Son of Man returns. Now, this is important. Was Jesus a real person? Yes. Of course, people say, well, he wasn't God, etc., etc. But he was, yeah. It's statistically proven he was a real person. And he said, when the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. If you read the context of it, you'll understand they were buying, selling, marrying, giving into marriage. In other words, life was as usual. But if you read the context of it, wickedness had increased. And to the point that God said, I regret that I made man. Because of the wickedness. Now imagine the creator of the universe said, I regret I made you. Wow. He was going to destroy everybody. But the Bible says Noah and his family, what's the family of eight? Found favor because they were righteous. In other words, it's a remnant. They were found righteous. Now look at Genesis 6:5. The Lord observed the extent of the what? Human wickedness on the earth. And he saw that everything they thought. Yeah, we go into the imagination. Yeah, you go into the thought process. Yeah, you see the decline of the human race during Noah's time. He saw that everything they thought or imagined was what? Consistently and totally evil. Welcome to 2024. And we ain't seen nothing yet. Whoa! Brace yourself. But keep focused. The king is coming. Stay focused. The king is coming. Men's thoughts were continually wicked, and God judged the world because of man's evil thought patterns. What are the outward things today that tell you the thoughts of man? How do I know the thoughts of man? Through action and behavior. Is the action and behavior of the average person God-fearing or not? No, it's not. We need God out of this country. That's where we are now. We need to go totally against biblical principles. God's way is a hindrance to our way of living. And that's going to increase more than ever before. And Jesus also reminds us to keep, particularly the Jews, keep your eyes on the fig tree. When it begins to blossom, you know the end is near. So Israel, equated to a fig tree, Jesus cursed that fig tree. But then the fig tree is going to blossom. And there's an interesting stats as well, or some history. Israel is the historical miracle in world civilization. And I quote, she had been extinct as a nation for over 1900 years, ever since Titus and the Roman legions marched into Jerusalem in 70 AD. And nearly obliterated the Jewish people, forcing them out of their country. In other words, they were scattered abroad. But God also prophesied he'll bring his people back. There will be a nation again. Now, get the politics out of this. We can go either way with the politics on Israel and what's happening there. Let's get politics out. Let's just look at the word of God and see what has happened. The Jewish people were nearly obliterated, forcing them out of their own country. The people were slaughtered, and Israel died as a nation on that day, AD 70. But God made a promise to the Old Testament prophets. He said, he'll bring Israel back again. He said, they will, my nation will come again. And that's why I keep on saying on Sundays and Wednesday nights downstairs, you will not obliterate Israel. Forget about what you want to do. Kings and kingdoms, forget it. When you thought you had obliterated and you got rid of them in AD 70, the Romans, that was the end. Nope, that was just the beginning of another era. The people were slaughtered, AD 70, and throughout history. Who can forget the Holocaust? But on May 14, 1948, guess what happened? Israel became a nation again. David Ben-Gurion signed the Declaration of Independence, and Jesus said, when the fig tree buds, the kingdom is at hand. Is Israel budding? Yeah, it is. What's the kingdom at hand when he comes and sets up his kingdom on the face of the earth? And this is where I want you as Christians. If you're not a Christian, I encourage you today to become a follower of God. I'm turning away from just asking Jesus into your heart. I'm asking people today, make a decision and become a follower of Jesus Christ. Yes, that involves the heart. It involves confession to Jesus that I'm a sinner. But it's a lifestyle. It's not a Sunday outing. Jesus said, when the fig tree buds, the kingdom is at hand. And a lot has been said about the generation, this generation. Let's go to Matthew 24, 32. In the same way, when you see all these things, particularly the sun, the moon, blah, 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 you know his return is very near, right at the door. I tell you the truth. This what? Now that's where the trouble comes. Define a generation. You see, that's where us English-speaking people misunderstand a number of things, and it has been presented to us that a generation is 35 years, a generation is 40 years, a generation is 100 years, a generation can be 1,000 years. But the sad thing is, all this is correct. It can be. But remember that the same word generation can also be translated this race, this nation, this people, referring to Israel. In other words, Israel will not disappear. This nation, this race, will see the coming of Jesus Christ. It's phenomenal when you go to the Mount of Olives. And as we were there, I think 2019, just to once again for our seventh time in Israel, just to stand on that Mount of Olives and say, this is where he's coming. Man, and this is the beautiful thing that I really enjoy. I could only stand on the Mount of Olives, but when he comes, Jesus, I'm coming with him, and I'm going to have an aerial view. Whoa, look at this place. Because we're coming with him. And I can't imagine all the things I've got to go through with him, through the enemy's territory, through the enemy's territory of darkness, and I'm coming through that territory, and I'm coming with the angels of God, and I'm coming with Jesus Christ, and I don't know if I'm going to ride on a white horse, but the Bible says he's coming on a white horse. I don't care what horse I ride, as long as I'm with him. And I'm going to look at this. Wow, Lord, what Jesus was saying is that this race, nation, people will not pass away until all is fulfilled. There is only one race that has always been here from the earliest of recorded history, the Hebrew race. Continuously, the Hebrew race is the longest living race. If we look at the Hebrews, what God has done, and they still exist today, and Jesus confirmed that there would be calamity, chaos, war, bloodshed, battles, but this race, the Hebrew race, the race that belongs to God, will not pass away until all is fulfilled. And looking at his disciples, Jesus was saying, take hope, Israel. Take hope. You will not cease to exist. This race, the Hebrew race, will not cease to exist. The Hebrew race, the Hebrew nation. Listen carefully. And if you think I'm pro-Israel, you are absolutely right. I'm pro-Israel. It's God's people. Are they wicked, some of them? Oh, terribly. Terribly. But I also know that God has a plan, and it's his people, and he takes care of them. If we go through history, that small nation, the size of New Jersey, surrounded by Arab nations, by the millions. There's only 8 million Jews in Israel. How did they survive all the onslaught? How come they were not squashed? How come they were not just pushed like a pimple? Get out. Yet we hear the vocabulary from the river to the sea. Get them out. And yet this little nation, the size of New Jersey, has stood the test of time. Why? Why? We've got to, American, we've got to ask ourselves this question. Why? You want to tell me it's so difficult to get rid of these people? I would submit to you this morning, they are a sign. They are a sign of God. They are a sign of the events of God. They are a sign. Take hope, Israel. You will not cease to exist. And it has continued to live on until this present day. It is a sign, a miracle that Israel is there today. Even though there are wars and rumors of war in the Middle East, as some prophets are saying, the end of the world is going to happen soon. The Hebrew race are here to stay as a sign of the times before the second coming of Jesus. Who is Jesus coming for? Ah, America. Drill, baby, drill. Let's frack. We got the wealth. He's not coming for America. He's not coming for India. He's not coming for China. He's not coming for South Africa. He's coming for Israel. His people. The quicker we can accept this, the better for us. His coming is for Israel. Let's look on the positive side as I close our times up. I'm over 5 minutes already. 2 Timothy 3. Those who try to live a godly life because they believe in Christ, Jesus will be what? Like the family that was burnt to death in Uganda. Like families that are being killed and martyred in Nigeria, northern Nigeria. But evil people, listen to that. But evil people and phony preachers. Aren't you glad you haven't got a phony preacher? But evil people and phony preachers will do what? Will go from bad to worse. As they do what? We're living in an age of deception. As are themselves misled. However, with all that bad news, however, continue, you and I. Continue in what you have learned and found to be true. What you and I have learned, found to be true. What I have shared with you. What you have found on your own and found to be true. You know who your teachers are. From infancy, talking to Timothy, you have known the Holy Scriptures. They have the power to give you wisdom so that you can be saved. There's the important fact, that you can be saved through faith in Christ Jesus. Let's end with this. Say it together with me. Don't look for a sign. Look. Let's pray. Father.